You're listening to The Mountain Gardener with local expert Ken Lane. Mountain gardening can be challenging, but with Ken's tips, tricks, and garden advice, you'll reap huge rewards. Now, welcome back to The Mountain Gardener.
And welcome to this week's edition of The Mountain Gardener. This is your host, Ken Lane. We're here every week talking about the landscapes of northern Arizona. Oh, January in the mountains of Arizona. Now, January in the mountains of Minnesota, is that even a thing? North Dakota, Wisconsin, these places, they're cold and they stay cold. Oh, my gosh. Last week here, we had some snow in the mountains of Arizona. And this week, I was doing some gardening in the backyard, getting ready for a shrub planting. Got a place where I want one. Cleaning up the perennials, kind of getting that bed kind of finished. And I'm doing this in a t-shirt. Now, I didn't have my shorts on. I did have my boots and long pants and a t-shirt. So I had to take off layers. I started with three layers in the morning. And by the afternoon, I'm sweating bullets. Going, I'm overheating here. So only in the mountains. Now, next week, it'll snow again. Or something will happen. So we're not done, but it does this. So we're past our coldest days. So middle of January is kind of a cold. We'll start to warm up at this point. It's hard to believe. I was working outside in the yard in a t-shirt. It's one of our coldest days. Ugh. But February is definitely warmer than January. And March is full on spring. I mean, I'm already starting to see my winter blooming jasmine. It's got two buds open, only two, but it's blooming. It's yellow, fragrant, beautiful blossom. And it'll be covered here in 2 weeks. It'll be just covered. That and camellia are your first two plants to bloom in the spring of the year. Right after that, you see the daffodils coming up. Forsythia bloom right after that. Then it's lilacs, and it just keeps going, pulsates color after color after that. So I just felt I wanted to get my perennials cleaned up. The reason is I'm a bird gardener. I love birds. I actually garden in the backyard for the birds and myself. So the backyard's got, it's a half acre lot. In the backyard's, you know, half of that. House is built in the middle. A classic mountain garden. Dug out on the side of a hill, two-story house. You pull in the driveway straight in from the street, and just kind of you live on the upper level, and then you go down a flight of stairs, and that's where the theater and the den is and the workout room. And then you walk out the back, and there's the yard. And it's a pretty good slope. So I've got water back there for them, so I've kept the water open. Even during that bitter, bitter cold at the New Year, the pond froze over, but I have a pond heater that kept a hole open for two reasons. One, for my birds. I want them to be able to get to water. Second, it kept my skimmer from freezing over, so it kept the efficiency going. I don't want the skimmer in a pond, if it's set up right, that's where the pump is. And if that freezes, it just destroys it. So I didn't want that to freeze, and I wanted keeping the pond clean. So it kept it frozen. It's not frozen now. You know, 10 days later, it's completely open and fine. And then secondly, many of my birds feed off of my perennials. And so I see the robins, they're busy scratching around the mulch piles and that kind of stuff, looking for worms, I'm sure. And then my little finches and sparrows, the smaller birds, they love my Autumn Joy sedum. And so Autumn Joys, it's a sedum. So it's like a cactus, only without thorns. Grows up about, not even knee high, maybe a foot, 14 inches high. And it had all this dead material on top of it. Well, I cut all of that back down to the ground as low as I could. Didn't take very long. And I can see already that the growth is happening at the base. You're seeing this spring's growth starting to emerge. Well, the birds use that. They'll peck at it and use it as a food and water source. You'll see, you know, 20, 30 little birds just all of a sudden flock on top of this one Autumn Joy sedum, peck at it for 2-3 seconds. You'll see someone keeping watch, and then all of a sudden they all fly off at the same time. It's beautiful. It's like a dance. But they're desperate. They don't have that much to eat right now. So they're using whatever is available for their benefit. And I planted those there just for them. So they beat it up a little bit. until the rest of the spring things start coming up. Usually there's a lot of pressure on my autumn joy sedums from birds until about the end of March. Then all of a sudden everything is going, and then the pressure's off and it grows and it blooms. Autumn joy sedum is because it's got this beautiful autumn colored kind of pink reddish flower late summer through fall. So they call it autumn joy sedum. Most sedums are kind of, lower growing. This is a taller sedum. It might even be the tallest sedum, at least in the mountains, a cold hardy sedum. Now, there's a lot of tropical type of sedums that can get taller, but they freeze out in the winter and they don't come back. This one freezes back to the ground like a true perennial, hibernates there for the first part of winter, and then it's one of the first ones to come up in late winter, early spring. And mine have already started to emerge. You cut that back and you'll see that there's growth underneath that. I saw that with mums, saw it with asters. There were certain perennials that were starting to grow. They were taking advantage of the warmth. And what will happen, I'll start getting emails here as soon as local gardeners start to see the growth, they see a storm coming and it gets cold. They'll be emailing, calling the store, dropping in, saying, "Ken, do I need to be worried? It's going to be cold. My daffodils, they're up, they're growing. My jasmine, it's blooming. My camellia, they're in bloom. What should I do?" Going, relax. Bake cookies. Sip tea. Just don't worry. These early spring plants have a lot of antifreeze in them, so they do not freeze no matter how cold we get. In fact, autumn joy sedums, I believe, if my memory's right, they can go down to minus 40 degrees. They can freeze solid and like ice, and still they would come back every spring. And that new growth has that antifreeze in them. They literally do not freeze solid because it's much like your car radiator. You don't put water in the radiator because it would freeze into an ice block and break the block, break your motor. You put antifreeze in there so that it's more efficient with the cooling and so it won't freeze in the winter. Well, plants, there's actually some new antifreezes coming out that are organic. They're made from plant sources. So these are the plants they harvest that from. So don't worry about them as they're coming up. I wouldn't cover them. I wouldn't do anything. I would just enjoy the new growth and enjoy the signs that spring are here shortly, and that it's just part of that process. It's fun to see which birds, how they're interacting, to see a flock of robins pecking around in your backyard, leaving little holes, trying to find worms and earwigs and pill bugs and all kinds, whatever's there. They're protein eaters mainly, not so much seed. They're looking for insects that are harbored underneath all of that leaf litter. And my backyard, I didn't rock over. I didn't put a patio in. I purposely, when I prune, I try to chip it up and then put it right back onto the soil. So the backyard looks, the soil's very rich because it's got years of composting material on top of the and around the plants. But mainly I do that so the birds are attracted into this and they feel like they can peck around and look for stuff. And it keeps my grasshoppers at bay in the summer. It keeps the earwigs at bay around the vegetable gardens because the birds are, they're like the dragons of the garden. I mean, they are ferocious. If you're an insect and birds are around, you should be aware. And so they try to hide and tuck in places. They take camouflage. They'll try to look like the plant because birds are after them and larger insects. But basically, that's what you're doing. When I get done pruning, I'm almost done. I got a few more natives I want to thin out and shorten down because one of my oaks is getting so large, it's starting to block the pond. Well, I put the pond in to enjoy, to look at, not to have an oak tree overtake it. So I'll cut that thing back. When I'm all done, I'll spray down the entire yard. I mean, every plant, every nook and cranny with horticultural oil. What that's going to do for me, it's organic, so it's the safest thing that I can spray in the yard for myself, for the pets, for anyone, for the birds, but it's deadly to insects and their eggs. So if you've had any insect problems at all, that's the most important. When you get done pruning, you hose everything down. I use a hose and sprayer. I just hose down everything with horticultural oil so that I start out the season clean. I won't have any insects. I won't have any eggs coming up from aphids and thrips and ciliates. That's the secret to pruning in the winter in the mountains of Arizona. Be right back with more garden tips, tricks, and advice.
You're listening to local garden expert Ken Lane, also known as the Mountain Gardener. Ken can be found throughout the week at Waters Garden Center in Prescott. Listen each week as he answers timely garden questions unique to mountain landscapes.
Did you know that plants can help you sleep better, naturally?
At Waters Garden Center, we have beautiful houseplants that not only look great, they clean the air we breathe.
Get this. Some plants can actually produce oxygen at night and even take mold spores out of the air, making for less tossing and turning and more beauty sleep.
Don't lose sleep. Rise and shine with unique, gorgeous houseplants for your best rest yet at Waters Garden Center.
Sweet dreams. Hi, Lisa with the plants of the week and our Goshiki holly.
Goshiki translates from Japanese as holly with five colors. Its new leaves emerge red, then turn green.
The entire top of this holly is draped in colors of cream, white, gray, yellow, and green.
This evergreen makes the perfect accent, hedge, or evergreen container for its all-round good looks.
A really nice plant that shines through winter is just $39.
Waters Garden Center, where people who love Japanese gardens, they love to shop.
You're listening to The Mountain Gardener with local expert Ken Lane. Mountain gardening can be challenging, but with Ken's tips, tricks, and garden advice, you'll reap huge rewards. Now, welcome back to The Mountain Gardener.
And we are back with Lisa Waters Lane in the studio. She comes each week with your garden questions. Just what are your neighbors talking about? And welcome back, by the way.
Well, thank you.
Off to buy pottery and get
yes.
things going. So you had an order come in and then it sold down. You've got to find, scour. What's that like to scour a pottery yard or describe a pottery?
It's like a maze with pottery. It's a maze made out of pottery, essentially. You wander through these huge yards and you're just, they have rows upon rows upon rows upon rows. And you go pick what you like. You're actually hand picking
the pots.
Like.
These are great big Asian, Chinese, Vietnamese, Indian, Malaysian. Basically, they've got the better quality pots that will winter over. They take our freeze and thaw cycles.
Right.
So we're going with a quality that you can garden in year round. Not whereas Mexican clay or Italian clay or German clay cannot do that.
Right, falls apart.
I've gone on a couple of those. Of course, you and Amy are the pot gurus. Pottery gurus. Sorry.
Be careful what you say.
That sounded bad. Anyway, I've been, and it's truly, it's like from floor to ceiling, not even, it's 8-10 foot tall pallets of pots and over acres and acres and acres.
Yeah.
And you've got to sort through the colors and styles at work for your.
Our location, where we're at.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't know
what
how
sells
you
girls here
do it.
doesn't sell in Phoenix or, you know, you got to pick things, colors you know people like here.
It's easier. My job is easier. Here, go buy $17,000 worth of pottery. Tell me when you're back. Here's two plane tickets.
Yeah, you're the downer. You make us stay on a budget. We don't like that.
Otherwise, we would be a pottery store, not a garden store, not
with
a plant.
Few plants thrown in.
Anyway, welcome back.
Right.
What are some of the garden questions we got this week?
Sure. So Robert would like to know, with all the moisture that we got from that storm at the beginning of the month, the storm that was supposed to be a small storm that turned into a major snowstorm.
Yeah.
Does he need to water this month? And then his other question is, what about things in pots or containers?
Yeah.
Do you need to water those?
Good question. So here's what the book says, or here's what we promote and at the garden center. Your landscape needs to be watered twice a month in the winter. And you want to water at least an inch of water or one deep cycle of water. So think in terms of June, July, August, when it's hot. You want to water that much every time you water. It never changes through the year. What changes is the frequency or the how often does that irrigation cycle turn on. Right now, twice a month, so about every 14 days or so. Now, 1 inch of water, that's 1 inch of rain, will penetrate about 6-7 inches of soil. Mm-hmm. Or
7 inches of snow will penetrate about 7 inches of soil. And so at our house, we got about 5 inches of snow. So that moisture went into the ground about 5 inches. Just think of that term. So it kind of depends on where Robert lives. So if he was out in Prescott Valley, they got a little less. Paulding got a little more. So it just depends on, just think of terms of if it snowed, that water will go down that, as it melts, mm-hmm. it penetrates the soil about that much. So for us, I would think that watered enough for us. So I turned the system off.
We're in Prescott.
In Prescott. Proper. Yeah, in Prescott yeah. proper with 5 inches of snow. If I'll probably water at the end of this month if we don't see any more moisture. Mm-hmm. So it just depends. Mm-hmm. I can tell you that kind of cold, if we got real cold after that mm-hmm. storm,
sure did.
It would have damaged some of your plants if we had not had some moisture. Yeah. So if it was just a cold snap and no moisture, it would have damaged the plants, mm-hmm. which is what happened last year. Right. It was very dry and cold, and so it damaged. We saw a lot of death and decay from the cold that winter. This year, it feels better, so you're getting more moisture, more regular patterns, it looks like, but time will tell. So I think for this, his question, you're good to go for 2 weeks.
Now, things in containers, though,
oh, yeah.
are a little different because right. they don't always get all that moisture in them.
Right. Yeah, that's true. So pots, so you're still watering every 7-10 days. It doesn't matter the weather. Because that moisture doesn't get directly into the container, especially if you're dealing with urns mm-hmm. or different kinds of shapes of your pots. So it's better to give them a deep soak. And what we did with our, I was out there with a hose, mm-hmm. handheld hose, and I deep soaked all of our container gardens, all of our pots, before the storm hit. Because I knew right after the storm cleared, it would be very cold. It always is in winter. So I now wanted to make sure my pansies were okay. My snapdragons were okay. My heucheras and vincas, they were all good to go. And they were. The ones that really took it in the shorts, what was snapdragons? They were in bloom before the storm. Now they're green,
yeah,
but it took the blooms. Yeah, they'll be back fine. And mm-hmm. and calendula?
Oh, yeah.
One, they got all the flowers are gone. So snaps and calendula, they were so beautiful before the yeah. storm. And now that 9 degrees, it got them. Mm-hmm. But, you know, fertilize them. A few warm days.
Right.
They'll be right back into bloom just like that.
Yeah, definitely. So. Okay. Next question is from Alex. He wants to know when he can start pruning fruit trees. And peaches, apples, cherries is what he has. And then also, when is the best time to start spraying your dormant oil?
Good question. No, those are great. So you can start pruning after the new year. So from the new year through about March, mm-hmm. that's kind of your window. So late winter, early spring, that's when you prune pretty much most things, shade trees, mm-hmm. So that kind of stuff. So go ahead, start. We've got a garden class coming up on exactly how to do that. In fact, I just invited Johnny Schaefer with Johnny Tree and Landscape Service. Mm-hmm. He's coming to teach February 2nd or 5th garden class? That first garden okay. class in February, he's going to personally teach that one. He's an arborist, so mm-hmm. he's coming over exactly how to do it. Your timing's perfect, so that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And then when to spray was the other question, right?
Yes.
There you're taking your dormant sprays or horticultural oils. You're going to spray everything after you're done pruning. So you're going to clean up, rake up, get things organized, kind of shaped right, and then you spray it all down with a horticultural oil, and that kills any eggs, insects, things that are wintering, harboring there in the leaf litter, up and down the bark. You want to spray things really well. The hose and sprayer, this is quantity over quality. Just hose down everything with oil. It's organic. It's safe for the birds. And then it starts. That'll make sure that you start the spring season out clean.
Mm-hmm. So, and I would say, if you have not pruned fruit trees before,
yeah.
it is definitely worth your while to come to the seminar and learn yeah. how to properly prune. Yeah. Because I've seen a lot of poor fruit trees. Yeah,
that's where the name butcher comes yeah. from. It's originally an agricultural term for people that pruned fruit trees incorrectly.
Yeah.
Not really, folks. That's yeah. that's trivia. That's not true. But
it does make a difference in your harvest,
oh, yeah.
the health of the tree. So yeah. there, it's important things you need
it's
to
game
learn.
Game changer. I'd say mm-hmm. the same thing for grapes. Really is a game changer for berries, mm-hmm. Brambles, that kind of stuff. Right. Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Next question from MJ. She wants to know if it is okay to be planting dormant perennials this time of year.
Oh, yeah.
And if so, how do you water them?
Oh, okay. We just covered watering.
Right. So, but a new plant, do you water? Do you not water?
The ground doesn't dry out very well, very fast. That's right. The beauty. Perennials are those plants that come back every year from the roots. So you're planting, basically, you'll see the stubs, or maybe it's got some evergreen parts to it, like heucheras or coral bells. Most of them are dormant, but they're fully mature roots. And so you plant that root, and then you're watering the ground around that root, and it won't dry out for a couple weeks. I think you're fine. It's dormant. It's not using a lot of moisture. And then the ground stays moist, doesn't dry out very fast. And you'll get almost a 100% uptake or planting success with planting perennials this time of year. Your selection's not going to be great, but true. The ones you have are great. I looked at our asters and our mums. I'm pruning back some of our perennial beds. The mums are already starting to grow. They're already starting to emerge. Right behind that, rosemary will start to bloom here in February. Right. Within a couple weeks, they'll start to bloom. So things happen. Mm-hmm. It's just sporadic. It'll happen because it gets warm, and then it's cold again. Right. You know, it'll get warm again, and then it'll cold again.
Yeah.
So go ahead. You can plant now. Water a couple times a month. Good to go. If you're in a container, maybe every 10 days, you're good. So, yeah, grab them. Okay. So we're starting to ship trees and that kind of stuff now. So I think you're starting. Ken and Lisa Lane and the Mountain Gardeners, great questions this week, folks. Be right back with more.
The Mountain Gardener, your source for garden advice right for the higher elevation of Arizona with local garden expert and the Mountain Gardener himself, Ken Lane. Listen in every week for Ken's tips, tricks, and techniques that are guaranteed to make a difference in your yard this season.
Let's talk poop.
Hey, I'm Tommy at Waters Garden Center. Ken and Lisa are out right now, so I snuck in to remind you that it's time to add some manure to your garden. It's been a wet winter, and your soil is, well, pooped. Waters Barnyard Manure adds nutrients to get your garden growing. It's organic and odorless, so we really can say our poop don't stink. Buy 6 bags or more. They're only $5.99. Now that's a load of crap.
Tommy, what's going on?
Oh, poop, gotta go. Natural, safe, odorless, and organic at Waters Garden Center.
Hi, Ken here with the Plants of the Week and our McMinn Manzanita.
Part of Waters' expanding native selection, this is the big, bold manzanita you find growing throughout Arizona.
A local evergreen growing wild with the classic red bark for a styling, drought-hardy landscape.
Locally grown for local landscapes, this easy-care shrub is just $39.
Waters Garden Center, 1815 Iron Springs Road in Prescott, where people who love lots of native plants, they love to shop.
You're listening to The Mountain Gardener with local expert Ken Lane. Mountain gardening can be challenging, but with Ken's tips, tricks, and garden advice, you'll reap huge rewards. Now, welcome back to The Mountain Gardener.
And welcome back. I've got, as promised, this is pretty much houseplant season. We see a spike in houseplants in the winter because there's just more gardeners still want to touch and breathe and play and sing to their plants. Well, out in the yard, it's hard to talk to a perennial that's still subterranean in the garden. And so they go indoors, I think. I don't know what it is. I don't know the psyche of gardeners. Actually, I kind of do. I own a garden center, and I is one. So I do like gardening. And houseplants are my fix right now. And then any bud, like my rhododendrons. The buds on those are huge, just ginormous. You can just see the maples, the maple trees. The buds, the leaf buds are huge. And so that's inspirational to me, but it's not actually growing yet. I mean, it's growing, but it's not erupting with new life. It's erupting with new buds. I was trimming back my peach tree, and it's got buds, full-on buds. I had to cut this thing back because it's grown in a big pot. It was up above, I don't know, 12 feet tall. I hadn't pruned it last year. I thought, it just looks so pretty. I can't prune it. I don't want to ruin the shape. So this year, I had to. So I broke out the ladder, and I want to be able to stand on top of the pot. This is big enough where you could stand on it, wrestle it. It's big. It's there to hide my hot tub. It's just there to give you this vase-shaped, beautiful, small tree that produces fruit.
It does put on full on peaches, and the grandkids will come over. And I mean, let's face it, all of us turn into little kids again when you start picking fruits. But we'll pick watermelons with them, pick peaches and blackberries, and they think that Pop-Pop is like the greatest gardener ever just because they got to pick some. They came over Christmas Day, and they're there for us for about a week. And the four-year-old's going, "Pop, can we go in the backyard and pick stuff?" And last time they'd come in for Thanksgiving, we picked beets. We were pulling beets out of the ground, going, "Here, let's just, what is that? What did you just do?" I'm going, "This is a beet, son. We should go in and try some. Let's do this." And so they think that's the greatest thing ever. And so I try to keep these things down so there's something always ready to mesmerize the next generation. I do believe that the older generation, and I'm classifying myself as the older, I've got kids and grandkids, that we can influence our next generation to be less tech-centered, to be out there, to enjoy nature, to get your soil in between your fingers and under your fingernails, and just to enjoy, to appreciate birds and the activities going on there, to actually hold a butterfly and blow into its wings and watch it just mesmerize. That's just magic. You know, I think we, the older generation, have that responsibility. In fact, while they were there, while I'm on this rant of generational connections, they are super tech. I mean, this is a 4 and 8-year-old. They are totally plugged in, completely, from birth. I'm surprised they don't have chips embedded in their brains. They just are always plugged in. And so I basically called it one day and said, "No tech today. There will be no computers, no TV, no, we're going outside, we're going downtown to the park, we're going to do something besides screen time, and whether it's a phone, a tablet, or a full-on 65-inch TV size, there's no tech today." And they were kind of whining, but I tell you, an hour later, they were full engaged, we're building blocks with stuff, we're downstairs building forts, we had a ball with that. I think sometimes we can make that call and give, especially grandparents, we can give a break to the parents. "Oh, they're so overwhelmed. Oh, I don't know. I don't know how they do it. Keeping up with all the schedules, it can be mayhem." And this is my daughter who, her husband, my son, is deployed in South Korea. He's away for 9 months. He's been gone 3 months and she's still holding it together. You just have to admire the family that keeps the spouse that keeps the family together while soldiers are being deployed. I just don't know how they do it. I know they've got a lot of resources, but not nearly as much as you think they do. Pretty much they get family and friends that rally around them while their spouse is away. And I know there's FaceTime, but that doesn't help you get the kids to school on time. So great, great admiration for our soldiers, yes, and they get all the accolades, but really, for the spouses and their families that hold, they're the anchors that give that soldier the strength they need to go out and deploy and keep our country safe. I mean, deep, deep respect for that whole military thing. I mean, first responders, that's great too. I mean, I could go on and on, but I just have more respect for the families, I think, that keep it together. Anyway, gardening, back to gardening. I'm going to dedicate a segment just to houseplants, the top 10. What are people buying right now here at the Garden Center that they're taking home and that will thrive for years to come? We'll go deeper on that. But right now I am noticing the furnace has been cycling on a lot. And so I had one of my ZZ plants that I forget. But the furnace had been running quite a bit and it dried out. It lost a couple new tips, so I had to clean it up, deep soak it again. And so watch that. As that furnace cycles on more and more, that's a tidbit I can leave you with at the end of this segment. Might want to check your water and get a moisture meter, pop it out there, just check it, because the furnace dries things out faster than it normally would. Be right back with this and more.
The Mountain Gardener, your source for garden advice right for the higher elevation of Arizona, with local garden expert and the Mountain Gardener himself, Ken Lane. Listen in every week for Ken's tips, tricks, and techniques that are guaranteed to make a difference in your yard this season.
My living room feels so empty.
Now that the Christmas tree is gone, the house just seems so blah.
Brighten it up with a big, bold, beautiful plant from Waters Garden Center.
Fill that cavernous space with tall tropicals, colossal cactus, and sizable succulents that bring the great outdoors indoors.
Make a gorgeous green space you can enjoy all year, not just for a season.
Unique, exclusive, one-of-a-kind houseplants found only at Waters Garden Center in Prescott.
In a new place, it's difficult to know who to trust, how to get help at the house, and which nursery will simply do what they say they'll do.
At Waters Garden Center, we're here to help, in the landscape at least.
Our team of plant ambassadors know your neighborhood, the plants that add color, increase privacy, and add fragrance and beauty.
And we can show you exactly how to plant locally, or we have teams to do all the work for you.
We are Ken and Lisa Lane, and we guarantee our plants will live up to every promise here at Waters Garden Center.
All right, we are back with Lisa Waters Lane in the studio. She comes each week and just shares her opinions. Garden opinions.
Fine, I'll limit it to garden.
We'll go to inspiration. How about that? She inspires us from a different perspective of how to garden in the mountains of Arizona and have it just sparkle.
Yeah, sparkle.
Sparkle.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Well, this week I thought we would talk about, I'm thinking ahead, because gardeners are always thinking ahead.
Garden catalogs are out. They're coming. I mean, they're full swing.
So perennials, perennial beds, whether you do raised beds in the ground, way out, containers, whatever you're doing. I love perennials, and it's just a great time to start thinking ahead, especially if you're going to be changing them out in your yard, if you're going to be putting in a new bed. Just some thoughts on perennials.
Well, it's a great topic. I love it. So we grow a lot of perennials. So What are you on, shade, sun, or where are you going with this?
Well, I'm just going to give some general ideas, general things to think about if you're going to be doing a perennial bed or you want to redo your perennial beds. So the first thought I had was it's okay to plant in mass. I think sometimes people think, I have one daylily, I'm going to put one daylily in, and then I'll put one hugerian or one, these kind of onesies. It makes a really big statement when you put 3, 5, 7 of those plants in. It makes a bigger statement than just the onesies.
That's a design element. It's by grouping them in triangular shapes, to put them in a grouping, we always put, like grasses. We love grasses. Mm-hmm. We always get at least 3 grasses and we plant them in a triangle.
Right.
And all of a sudden it is like, whoa, look what they did. Whereas one would be going, it's so lonely. What they ran out of inspiration or money or time or garden space or look what, there's more dirt than plant. What's going on? So it's that.
Yeah. It makes a better visual impact when you plant in masses.
Yeah.
Second, plant perennials that are going to have a longer bloom time. So there's some perennials that bloom 4 weeks and bam, they are done. There's some like salvia. Salvia blooms pretty much all season long. Galardia blooms all season long. Dianthus. So look for things that are longer blooming, and that can be the staple of your perennial bed.
Yeah, kind of anchor it with that. Mm-hmm. Now you can go with, I love orange. We're going with orange and crocromia and some of these other, just orange. Mm-hmm. You can spot in there, but they don't have as long a bloom cycle as those core perennials.
Right.
Yeah, that's great. That's good advice.
Definitely. The other thing to think about is contrast. And a great way to get contrast in your perennial beds is actually use plants that are more foliage than they are bloom. So heuchera. Heuchera definitely, I mean, it blooms, but you don't buy it for the bloom. You're buying it for the foliage because it has that beautiful green or the dark purples or the reds. So look for things that give you contrast. Look for things that have great foliage. Some plants bloom but also give you great foliage, like peonies. I love peonies. They don't bloom that long necessarily, but the foliage on a peony, I think, is very, very attractive.
Very lacy. Yeah, very pretty. Yeah.
So you can throw that into your perennial bed. Look for things like lavender and rosemary. They're going to consistently have foliage on there. Whether they're in bloom or out of bloom, they're always going to have some foliage on there.
Santalina is in that.
Santalina is a great one. I think that's a great one.
We use a lot of Santalina. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a great herb.
Right.
That does bloom. It's got a pretty flower, but it's got the most beautiful gray, silver gray foliage
contrast
to it.
Very nicely. And you mentioned it earlier, grasses. Grasses, the ornamental grasses, everybody thinks, oh, pampas grass. No, there's hundreds of varieties of grasses. The plumetastic mooly grass is so pretty.
Plumetastic. That even sounds good.
I know. So you can use your grass. I mean, most of your grasses are going to bloom later in the season. So they're going to be that late summer, early fall blooming. But use the foliage in the meantime for contrast in your perennial bed.
Yeah. I noticed our grasses, they looked fabulous. And then the snow started to settle down, like the Japanese zebra grass in the backyard. Mm-hmm. It started to lay down a little bit. And so now it's time to cut them back and get them under control to encourage new growth coming back fresh every spring. That's one when you prune, you do want to mow down or hedge or weed whack those grasses back down the ground so you get fresh new foliage every year and more blossoms. You'll get more plumes coming up from your grasses if you clean them up.
A question on that, and maybe this goes more towards the big
like pampas grass?
Pampas grasses, thank you. Are you supposed to wait until you start seeing some green come up through before you cut back?
No, never. Oh, no. Okay. You prune them back midwinter. Don't wait. You can wait on roses like that. You can wait on other things. But grasses, whack them down. I mean, take the lawnmower, butcher them. Get them back down so you get rid of that dead material. Mm-hmm. Now, generally, the plumes on the pampas grass are beautiful still.
Right.
The snow didn't get them to lay down.
Right,
but as soon as that starts to fade and they look kind of whipped and soggy and ugly, and the snows kind of get them to lean over, then I'll kind of go, okay, time to whack those back. And a pampas grass going back to about knee level or so, where those curly cues are. The muley grass you'd mentioned, you're going hard on that. The blue grammas, the native grammas, you're going hard on that. You go right back to the ground as close as you can. It's easy. And then you fertilize them first part of March. It'll start growing.
Yeah.
You have green foliage, not blooming, but the growth, the new needles or blades will come up.
Okay.
First of spring. So, don't wait on grass.
So, prune those back.
Sooner's better.
But grasses, I think people underutilize grasses. There's some really pretty different ones out there fitting nicely into perennial beds. The other thing to think about with your perennials is, do you want to attract certain pollinators? Do you want hummingbirds? Do you want butterflies? What are you trying to bring in? So depending upon, like, the salvias, those are like hummingbird attractors. You might as well put a sign out in your yard that says, please come, one and all.
All are welcome you're a hummingbird.
Because they love that. If you want to attract more butterflies, you're going to be looking at things, you know, the milkweeds, of course. Things that have landing pads, coneflowers, coreopsis, things like that. So if you want to attract a certain pollinator into your yard, think about those flowers that bring them in.
And we can help with that. We've got folks that, like Patty, she's a butterfly nut. I mean, she just lives for butterflies. She can tell you right which ones will bring them in. And we've got folks that do hummingbirds. Mm-hmm. So we can help you. We love garden projects like that.
Right.
Go out of our way for folks that have an interest in attracting more or designing for a certain style.
Mm-hmm. And there is so much to learn. Like milkweed. I thought there was just like milkweed, one variety.
Oh, no.
Goodness, there's tropical, there's native, there's world, there's so many. And Patty knows about all of them because she has them all growing.
We have several just
here
in Arizona, just right here in the central highlands of Arizona. There's several varieties, absolutely.
Yeah, so definitely come in and pick somebody's brain if you want to be inviting those pollinators in. And the other thing I would say is don't be afraid to try some new varieties, new things into your perennial beds. And the other thing is, so some of those we say, oh, this one needs shade, this one needs sun. I have found that when you're mixing those plants together in those groupings, sometimes you can put a shade plant in there because it'll be shaded.
That's true.
By
other
plants.
They help each other. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's I think you ought to try a new thing. I think we'd get stuck in the mud sometimes and we just go, oh, this is a plant I know. I'm not going to move away from this.
I like rock. Nothing but rock.
Very easy to take care of.
Yeah.
But try a new thing. And garden centers, every year, the gurus who make new plants, whatever it is that they do, they're coming out with new things all the time.
Fun new things. It's really neat what's happening.
Right. Right. I mean, they're kind of combining different, like the Rudbeckia, and I forget what they combined it with one year. But so try those things. It may work and be beautiful and you love it. It may die and it didn't work, it's the wrong spot. But that experimenting is most of the fun.
I think 10%, I always use 10% in our own yards, mm-hmm. for vegetables, flowers, whatever, shrubs. 10% of our gardens, personally, are dedicated to brand new things. And we have test gardens and stuff, right. and we try them out there. But our own personal gardens, something we've never grown before, 10%, just to have fun. Just something new to watch. Because your attention goes to that and goes, ooh, look what it's doing. Yeah. Oh, look when it bloomed. Oh, look what birds love that. Oh, look, I didn't know the butterflies. Oh, right. It's an inspiration when you plant something different and unusual. So that's great advice. Mm-hmm. Well, perennials, dormant, yes, you can plant them now, and it's a good time to start strategizing how to pull that off from grasses to blooming things. Lisa, thank you very much. We'll be back in just a moment with Ken and Lisa Lane and the Mountain Gardeners.
The Mountain Gardener, your source for garden advice right for the higher elevation of Arizona, with local garden expert and the Mountain Gardener himself, Ken Lane. Listen in every week for Ken's tips, tricks, and techniques that are guaranteed to make a difference in your yard this season.
Did you know that plants can help you sleep better, naturally?
At Waters Garden Center, we have beautiful houseplants that not only look great, they clean the air we breathe.
Get this. Some plants can actually produce oxygen at night and even take mold spores out of the air, making for less tossing and turning and more beauty sleep.
Don't lose sleep. Rise and shine with unique, gorgeous houseplants for your best rest yet at Waters Garden Center.
Sweet dreams.
Wondering why my garden looks amazing? Well, that's personal. The personal garden shopper service at Waters Garden Center, that is. Before talking with my personal shopper, I had no idea which plants would be best for me. But now my garden is bursting with flowers and buzzing with hummingbirds. Just go to watersgardencenter.com, click on shop, and choose personal garden shopper. A Waters Garden expert will pick the perfect plants for you, personally. The personal garden shopper, only at Waters Garden Center in Prescott.
Now, I wrote an article 2-3 weeks ago. It was on the top 10 houseplants. It was strategic. It's first of the year. You're taking the Christmas tree down, but you still want some green. These were the plants that were easy to grow. I'm going to pull this list off of that article because you can go to the resource and just get it right printed out yourself. So if you're driving, you don't have time to take notes. This is probably one of those that's worthwhile pulling over right now, pulling that pen out or taking your phone, opening up the notes app and taking some notes. But if you can't get to that, it's right there at watersgardencenter.com. At the very top of the page, it's got blog, and it's one of the top posts on my blog each week. It's also published in the newspaper. You get the Courier or Prescott E-News or Signals AZ. It's published in all of those publications as well, digitally online, easy to get to. Or you just type in Google, 10 most popular houseplants. Boom. If you're in Prescott, it'll probably cycle it right to you. But Waters Garden Center blog, it's right there. These are the houseplants that if you got a new house and you're just starting to get familiar with that space, that new addition, that these are the ones you want to start with. Yes, I have a lot of very exotic euphorbias and succulents and cacti. But these are the ones that these are the go-to. My daughter, she's at Fuller Seminary. She's getting her master's degree in family family therapy or something, marriage and family therapy. She's got in her dorm, she's got an apartment there on campus, Calathea is this cute short houseplants made to be on desks or a plant stand. I mean, college students, let's face it, they're busy studying, they're late nights, they're going. I mean, she's at master's level, she's way past that, you know, 4-year degree freshman stuff. She's very mature anymore, but she doesn't have the time to take care of plants, but she loves plants. And so we got her one of these Calatheas. It's got a real dark leaf with stripes on it, light green stripes all over it. It's edged in dark green as well. But the reason this one is so great, it takes virtually no light. So it's great for dark bathrooms, her living room. She's living in a 1920s bungalow in Pasadena. It's dark, dark wood, old crickety wood floors. This night screams California 1920s. This beautiful old apartment complex. But that's when we got her because it just thrives. She doesn't do hardly anything and just takes that dark room with less care. It's easy to care for.
Another one that's right up there with that is a creeping fig. Now, if you need something that trails, let's say you've got a beautiful marble plant stand or a ledge that you want to have things come over, a creeping fig is the perfect, easy to care for plant that'll grow in virtually any part of your house. It's got heart-shaped leaves, rows of heart-shaped leaves. It's pretty. It's a pretty little plant. They make one that's variegated, and they make one that's dark green. So there's a variegated creeping fig, and there's a creeping fig. Well, they're the same thing. Anyway, you'll be inspired. But they're more of a hanging. They usually come in hanging baskets that you'll hang from. Croton, that's one of my favorites. I love croton. Croton is a large plant. It gets up head high, chest high or so, with a great big leaf. But here's the beauty of a croton. It's got multiple colors. It's almost like a rainbow plant. It's got variations of orange and red and yellow and different colors of green all in one plant. Thick, leathery leaves. So it's very efficient on foliage, on water and through its foliage. Just locks that in. Super easy to grow. But if you need a taller floor plant, it's hard to find nice quality tall floor plants. Well, a croton is a perfect way to go for that. If you need something bright, it does need a little bit brighter room, I notice, if it's going to be colorful like that, hold its color. If it's in more a darker room, it tends to revert back to just more greens, less reds, oranges, and yellows. Just a little personal, what I've learned over the years. English ivy. And I would also put in there wax leaf ivy. English ivy is super easy to grow. In fact, I just had to prune back my English ivy that's outside. It'll go to crazy man cold. It'll take anything we got in the mountains outside. But it also can be used as a houseplant. It actively grows. It does really, really well. The wax leaf ivy is more of a tropical variety, has a thicker leaf, usually a brighter leaf. And they're kind of harder to find. Wax leaves are, if you find one, grab it. We just had a few come in. I'm not sure where Ella's at with all the rest, but ivy in general, it's a great trailing kind of plant. Or you can also train the tendrils to go up stakes, up through forms, through whatever. It'll grow wherever. Probably the number one most popular, number one seller out of all the houseplants. I probably have 500-600 houseplants out there. It's crazy. It's packed full. The number one seller, pothos. So, or golden pothos. It's a trailing kind of plant. In fact, a lot of folks, if you don't fertilize it enough, it gets spindly. It kind of gets real long tendrils with just a few, kind of a long vine, just a few leaves on it. If you cut it back every once in a while, you fertilize it enough, it gets thick and lush and gorgeous. It has this light spring green flower with these stripes of yellows all over it. It's just a beautiful plant. I probably have some that are creamy colored, so light green with cream, straight green. So it comes in different variations. They're all equally as tough, but they like to trail and leave runners around. So that's a great little plant. Maidenhair fern is one of those that's just, it's a fern, but it's easier to take care of than other ferns. But look at maidenhair. If you like ferns, they prefer a darker room, a little less light. So that's the one you want to go with in the dark bathrooms, that back bedroom that's north facing. Those are where you want to put your ferns. They thrive in that kind of environment. They really like more humid areas. That's why we put them in bathrooms so often, because the humidity from the showers and the baths and just the bathroom is a little more humid. Money plant is one that does really well. It's actually a symbol of luck. I don't know if people buy it. I don't know. It's got feng shui. It's got that Eastern influence. Just a fun little plant. But originally it came down to, it was one that people would have in their home for good luck. Peace lily. You all know peace lily. It's got this dark green foliage up about knee high or so. It's got these beautiful white flowers, about the size of a loaf of bread, maybe a little smaller than that. This bright white flower that is a tremendous contrast to the dark green foliage. It's so stunning. This plant, it's hard to kill. It'll keep going, but it can look ugly. So if you want to watch that watering, so it needs a little bit more regular water pattern to it. But usually it's in a darker part of the room. So deep within a living room, that's where it looks really good. A den, an office with south-facing window, but you got those blinds closed all the time, that's where where a peace lily is really going to thrive. If you give it regular food, it's going to bloom, send off dozens and dozens of white flowers or lily-shaped flowers per year. Easy to grow, easy to go with. It does have a few leaves you need to pinch back every once in a while, but that's just, as gardeners, you sort of want to do that every once in a while. Nurture your plants. And the last one, the toughest one, the one we use at hotels and malls, shopping centers, commercial centers, the ZZ plant. ZZ, don't ask me how to pronounce the botanical name. It's too long. So we just condense it going ZZ, like zebra, a plant. It's not a succulent. It's got actual green leaves, but has thick stems that hold water like a succulent. So this is one I had in my back bedroom. I'd forgotten about it. The furnace was cycling. I hadn't watered it in probably a month. I mean, I had forgotten about it. And all of a sudden, I walk in and the tips were kind of dying back. I'm going, whoa, time for a watering. Cleaned it up, watered it, and now it's thriving again. So it's one of those that are so tough, you cannot kill it. I would say one thing to watch right now with all of your houseplants, whether it's a new one or your established one, or that poinsettia that's starting to lose some leaves that you should probably start heading to the dumpster with, but you're keeping alive because you're a gardener. That's what gardeners do. They'll keep it for years to come. It's probably time to clean things up because as the days are real short, plants start to shed a few leaves. So if you've got a yellow leaf, just pick it off. Watch your watering. It's time for a water meter. That's one thing. If you don't own a water meter, you should get one. It's like $10, and it makes life so much easier. Get a good one and just regulate so it'll tell you. As that furnace cycles, you're watering a little bit more than you were just maybe a month ago. And then after you clean it up, fertilize it with a good house plant food. We've got several here at the garden center. Just pick a good one, consistent, add it to your house plants, and you'll find they'll start putting on new growth as the days get longer. They'll start growing for you once again.
The Mountain Gardener, your source for garden advice right for the higher elevation of Arizona with local garden expert and the Mountain Gardener himself, Ken Lane. Listen in every week for Ken's tips, tricks, and techniques that are guaranteed to make a difference in your yard this season.
Hi, Lisa with the Plants of the Week and our Victory Pyracantha.
It's impossible to kill this evergreen shrub. Your garden victory is assured.
Birds will nest and revel amongst the cluster of bold red berries.
Thick enough to hedge and screen, yet tall enough to use as a windbreak.
A big, bold plant is just $59 and sure to impress your garden friends.
Waters Garden Center, 1815 Iron Springs Road in Prescott, where people who love Victory Gardens, they love to shop.
Hi, Waters with the Plants of the Week and our Roman Beauty Rosemary.
This Mediterranean beauty has graceful, arching branches that flow over rock walls, raised beds, or container's edge.
A culinary herb often used in potpourri.
Rugged, deer-resistive, evergreen, likes crummy soil, drought, and abuse. Now that's my kind of shrub for under $36.
Waters Garden Center, 1815 Iron Springs Road in Prescott, where people who love unusual, healthy herbs, they love to shop.
You're listening to The Mountain Gardener with local expert Ken Lane. Mountain gardening can be challenging, but with Ken's tips, tricks, and garden advice, you'll reap huge rewards. Now, welcome back to The Mountain Gardener.
So we just were finishing up houseplants. I'm trying to put together a list right now. The article's kind of etched out pretty well. I got a few words to it. Need to add some real content. But I'm going to write here shortly the most fragrant houseplants. Some are actually famous for their fragrance. So I'll go through that list at a later date. But look for that article to come. If you're part of the Waters Garden Center, our garden club, you'll be getting that anyway if you've given us our email. It's all digital format. So if you like it, you see a headline you like, well, that sounds interesting, click, and it shows you the list. You check on our blog, watersgardencenter.com, and at the very top, you'll see blog right there. So it the latest articles, all the articles are posted there, but the latest ones are always on top. And of course, this top 10 houseplant, they aren't fragrant. They're just easy to grow. They're the core. They're the base. That's where you start with houseplants, and you get more exotic from there. We've got, again, hundreds of houseplants, dozens and dozens and dozens of varieties from succulents to euphorbias to cacti to hanging plants to floor plants. I just got a dragon scale Dracaena, that corn plant. Dracaena and corn plant kind of the same, long, slender leaves. But the scale on the bark on this thing, the trunk on this thing, it's meant to be in a tall house with 9-10-foot ceilings or a big office. It's going to take up some real estate. It's probably 3-4 feet wide and 9 feet tall. But the bark on this thing is unbelievable, gorgeous. You can't believe you can actually have a house plant like this. So it's just pretty. It's interesting. So you don't, things like that are also available as well. If we went over this and it was just way too much for you, too fast, what was he saying? Oh, that was interesting. I wish I could go back and hear that. We are going to hold a garden class. The garden classes start next week, January 19th. And from that point through spring, every Saturday at 9:30, we'll have a garden class. Well, Ella Amos is our houseplant buyer. She knows, she tracks, she studies. It's her mindset. She is a houseplant. And she's going to teach this class, and she does all of our buying. She's got full authority here at the Garden Center. She's going to share some houseplant tips, which ones are easiest, this list and more, and take a lot of Q&A. Come to that. So next week, January 19th, we start out healthy, happy houseplants. The last Saturday in January, we've got wildflowers. Growing crazy, growing wild with wildflowers. Just what are the right seed mixes? Your timing's right. This is when you put wildflowers down into the gardens. We've got a handout we created for this. And then we're going to teach how to actually have a beautiful wildflower patch that will come up in waves of color this coming spring. But now's your time when you put this stuff down. And then I just lined up a friend, Johnny Schaefer. He owns Johnny's Tree and Landscape Service. He's one of the certified, the go-to arborist in town. He does all of my own personal work. But I said, Johnny, I need someone to teach a pruning class. Would you teach us how to prune trees? So he's going to come in that first Saturday in February to teach us how to prune properly from an arborist perspective, looking for disease and health and form by different varieties. So that should be really intriguing. Take a look at all of those at watersgardencenter.com, right on the front homepage. There's a classes button as well. Next, right below the blog button is right there, classes. Well, that's it for another show. Lisa and I camp out here at Waters Garden Center throughout the week. We love talking to gardening friends. Anything we can do for you, just visit us here in Prescott.
The Mountain Gardener, your source for garden advice right for the higher elevation of Arizona with local garden expert and the mountain gardener himself, Ken Lane. Listen in every week for Ken's tips, tricks, and techniques that are guaranteed to make a difference in your yard this season.
My living room feels so empty.
Now that the Christmas tree is gone, the house just seems so blah.
Brighten it up with a big, bold, beautiful plant from Waters Garden Center.
Fill that cavernous space with tall tropicals, colossal cactus, and sizable succulents that bring the great outdoors indoors.
Make a gorgeous green space you can enjoy all year, not just for a season.
Unique, exclusive, one-of-a-kind houseplants found only at Waters Garden Center in Prescott.
Ouch! Aw, man, another rock! Hi, I'm Rusty. You know, the shovel you're destroying trying to dig that hole? Sure, I get it. You got these beautiful plants at Waters Garden Center. Waters asked if they could plant them for you, but no. You had to do it yourself, even though they would plant, deliver, and guarantee your plants for 2 years. I hope I don't end up like that old pickaxe. Ouch! Prevent yard tool abuse. Waters Garden Center. They plant, deliver, and guarantee.
You've been listening to local garden expert Ken Lane, the owner of Waters Garden Center in Prescott. Join him each week as he answers timely garden questions unique to the area. He can be found throughout the week at Waters Garden Center, located in Prescott at 1815 Iron Springs Road. Thanks for tuning in to The Mountain Gardener.